forth. He just brings the subject. But I don't see him here. He's attending basic education, I suppose. So we thought that we need to get the department, get Sita, get Umalusi, to all tell us what are the issues there, because it's something that is it's a serious outcry out there, and it does look like it's something that has been coming for some time, and we need to find a solution to this backlog. So we want to understand the reasons why there is a backlog, but also to get a view on how is this going to be resolved. So we'll deal with the current status quo, but also with the solutions going forward. Because it's really not acceptable that students go through the system, they pass, they are supposed to go to the marketplace, and they are not able to produce certificates that confirms that they've been through the system. When it's requested in the marketplace out there, so we'll want to understand. Maybe we've got it wrong. Maybe there's no backlog. We don't know. You'll tell us. Okay, let me just quickly deal with the apologies. we've got an apology from the minister, who is accompanying the president to the investment conference in Johannesburg from the 5th to the 7th, starting today. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So the minister won't be coming here. I hope the minister does find time in his busy schedule to attend. We have been missing him for some time now. And it will be good that he attends the meetings next week. There's also a meeting from the, an apology from the deputy minister, I think. He's traveling overseas. And the director general won't be able to come today because of the same reasons that the minister is not able to come. He's also attending the investment conference. He has nominated Ms. A. Singh, the acting deputy director general for technical and vocational education and training, who's here to lead the departmental delegation. He's also not available tomorrow for the colloquium that we'll be having tomorrow on the funding of post-school education and training. Then there's another apology from SITA, from the chairman of SITA Board of Directors, Mr. Zuki Lenonvede. He's saying that this meeting coincides with a long-standing engagement and pressing matter that he has to attend to. We normally don't accept apologies like this. Ah, Dodovu, can join us. It's lost. Okay. an apology that says pressing matter, emergency. We don't take those kind of apologies because you must explain what is that. I'm going to attend a meeting in the U.S. I've been called by the president. I can't come. You know, there must be a reason other than something pressing. We don't know what pressing is it. So the delegation of CETA, please just say to the chair that we don't accept this kind of apologies, which are very general. But in any case, he says that the delegation, CETA will be represented by a delegation of four, Ms. Siyadimo Chaba, the chairperson of the board subcommittee on ICT research and development, research, development and innovation, Mr. Vernon John, the head of department hosting and secure operation, Mr. Andre Taylor, senior manager hosting and secure operations, and Ms. Bongile Makoba, customer relations manager for DHET. Okay, those are the apologies. There is another apology from Honorable Mkachwa, who's running late. I'm going to take this opportunity now to ask that those who are going to talk to us must present themselves, introduce themselves from department, from CETA, from Umalus. I see it's a very small delegation here. Yeah. I hope everybody is here. Okay, Missy.
Okay, good morning.
Just press here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Aruna Singh, and I'm the Acting Deputy Director General for TVET. In the department, and I am leading the delegation from the DHET side. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members. My name is Violet Tsetlu. I'm the Chief Director for Examinations and Assessment in the TVET branch.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members. My name is Vernon John. I am from CETA. I head up the Application Maintenance Department within the HSO environment.
Thank you, Chair and members. My name is Siyadimo Chaba. I'm a non-executive director of CETA, and I chair the committee that looks after ICT and innovation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Mafu Rakometi. I'm the chief executive officer of Umalusi. Thank you.
Looks like there's something wrong with that. Yeah, it's broken. Yeah, I can use that.
My name is John Volmink. I'm the chairperson of the Umalusi Council.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm Andre Taylor, Senior Manager of Application Maintenance for Education Solutions.
Good morning, honorable.
For what? Sorry?
Application maintenance on the education solutions.
Education solutions?
Yeah, the examination systems.
Oh, okay. Is it part of CETA or Umalusi?
Yeah, part of CETA, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. I am Sbongile Makoba from CETA, the DHET Client Relationship Manager.
Okay, maybe if you can just, our meetings are recorded, so.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Eva Suji. I'm the Senior Manager for Qualifications, Curriculum and Certification at Umalusi.
Okay, thank you.
Good Good morning, honorable members. I'm Gerard Boise. I'm the manager for certification at Umalusi.
Okay. All right. So maybe, do you know, Mechawa, do you know where is the chair? What is this person?
No, I don't, Honorable Chairman. I was just deployed. They asked me to come and present him. Yes.
Okay. So he didn't explain to you where he's going?
No, he didn't, Honorable Chair.
Okay. You see, we are not being unreasonable, but if there is an apology, explain, take us into confidence. What? Why are you not coming? You can't just say pressing, agent. What are those things? We need to be told. But from my side, I don't think I'll want this meeting to be dragged into that, but I just want us to make a note that it's really unacceptable to get this kind of an apology. It's a serious matter that we're discussing here today. And if the chair is not available, we get an apology from the minister who explains where he's going. He's attending an investment conference. We know it's taking place today. Why can't the chairperson be candid and honest with us? Tell us what are these pressing things that makes him not to come to Parliament. Okay? So we will then start with the department. Oh, it's one. Okay. So who's going to take us through? All right, sure. Okay. Yeah, switch off.
Sorry? I think the screen, if people are happy with the screen, it's okay.
Switch off the lights there.
But I think the screen is a bit blurred. Am I right?
If there is no switch, then we can proceed. But I wonder if somebody sitting there can be able to see.
That's the problem. It's very dull.
There is no switch.
If it's just that one that goes off, it'll be fine.
Can you assist there with the switches? Is that it? Okay, let's proceed then.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and very good morning to the other Honorable Members and the delegation that has come for this presentation. Chair, we have one presentation that I want to emphasize has been a collective effort of all the parties involved, and that was at the behest of the Portfolio Committee a while back, that all the key stakeholders involved in the certification issue must come together and present to the Portfolio Committee as a single initiative. So that's what we have done. It is not an incredibly long presentation, I must say, but we have tried to keep it precise. And at the same time, we also have attempted to give a context to the problem. As you correctly said at the beginning, what is a backlog? How do we understand that? And it's not any effort to say there isn't a backlog. There is. But I think the insights are important in this massive exercise. And the honorable members have the pleasure today of having very key people from all the entities, not so much from the DHET, but certainly from CETA and Umalusi. Among the members of the delegation from those two entities, I see the foot soldiers here. So if there are any really deep questions or insightful questions that the honorable members have, around these things, even the technical bits of it. We do have people in the delegation who will be able to provide those responses. So with that, Chair, the presentation is, this slide gives us the broad outline of what will be covered. The background, as I said, is very important because it sketches the background. And what defines a backlog in the certification environment? The exam cycles and processes, and then we'll give you a brief introduction and the reasons. And very important is the certification backlog update. And from that point onwards, the interventions, improvements, a lot of interest in the new examinations IT system. It's called the Integrated Examinations IT System. We will cover some of the challenges and the interventions that are in place to mitigate those, and finally the way forward and the conclusion. So, Chair, by way of the background, and one of the first things that we cover here is the working definition. What is it that constitutes a certification backlog? When is a candidate defined as part of the backlog in the issue of certificates? And in our working definition, it's a working definition. We see it as a process of issuing certificates to all, and the key word there is eligible candidates, because you will find that as the presentation unfolds, that there are sometimes the problems are really about students who are not eligible. At other times, we call it qualifying candidates, because there are criteria that have to be met for the issue of certificates. So it is about eligible candidates who have met the minimum certification requirements for the various qualifications and have been certified within 3 months. That's the turnaround time we have set in the department, that once the results have been approved, that's the time from which we calculate the approval of results, and from that time onwards, and we know that the quality assurers give that approval, 3 months thereafter, a candidate must receive the certificate. So that is what we regard as certification for a candidate to receive a certificate. Candidates may achieve minimum certification requirements in their first or just one exam sitting in a qualification. So a student sits with the full range of subjects that are required in that qualification and may pass it. Or we have, and very commonly, that's the bulk of our candidates who sit over multiple exam sittings, more than one, and it could be many more than two. And they are the bulk who fall in that category. And they are actually the ones we speak about more often than not about in the certification backlog. So just to illustrate an example, very, very typically for a native student might sit at one exam sitting for four subjects, which would complete a certificate. That's what the candidate needs, four subjects to be issued with a certificate. But in that exam sitting, they take all four subjects, but they really only pass, not only, they do pass three. One is missing, and that one subject would be passed at another exam sitting. And it is only after the subsequent exam sitting, when they do pass, assuming they do, that that candidate is then a qualifying candidate for a level certificate. And the certification criteria are in general, the certification criteria are, of course, dictated by the qualifications. And all qualifications have policies that dictate pass, certification, progression, and a whole lot of things. So in the National Certificates Vocational Qualification, which is at levels 2 to 4, each level has a certificate, students have to pass, or the candidates have to pass, all seven subjects at the same level in order to qualify for a certificate. And in order to progress to the next level, they must have obtained the certificate in the preceding, to obtain a certificate in the next level, the preceding level certificate must have been achieved. Although they do progress on subjects, but let's deal with that separately. In the NATED qualification candidates, that is from N1 to N6, they have to pass a minimum of four subjects at each level. each certification level. And again, they must pass the preceding level to be, they must pass and achieve a certificate at the preceding level to achieve a certificate at the next level. In terms of the General Education and Training Certificate, which is our ABET candidates, they have to pass a minimum of 5 subjects, constituting a total of 120 credits. So given all of that background, sketching that background, we then consider the certification backlog to constitute those candidates who have met the minimum certification requirements for various qualifications. They have met the requirements, but we're unfortunately not yet issued with certificates within the 3 months after results have been approved by the quality assurer. So that's the very specific cohort we are looking at. They have qualified and they were not issued. So the numbers that we present hereafter will speak to this background. Just to give an idea of how the exam cycles work every single academic year, we have a massive national exam system which characterizes the TVET sector. It is not, we don't have an equivalent in any other sector in the country, and I would dare say anywhere else in the world. So you would see there are 5 periods involving different qualifications. In March, starting off from the beginning of the year, the first exam is in March, which is a supplementary that follows the previous year. In April, we have the NATED engineering. And we've given the certification dates, the 3 months. We factored in the 3 months to indicate when those students should be certificated. So in the case of the students taking the supplementary in NCV, they should receive their certificates in July, having been involved in the supplementary in March. The NATED engineering students who wrote in April should receive the certificates in August, provided they have, of course, qualified. In June, it should be issued. That's the NATED business students. It's a semester, so they should receive their certificates in October. August, again, we have another session of the NATED engineering. Those certificates should come through in December. And as you can see, in November, we have all of them coming together. We have the NCV, we have the NATED business studies, second semester, the third trimester of the NATED engineering, and we have the GETC, and all of those are expected to be certified in April of the next year. So that is effectively how the cycle would work. Just a bit of a background on the processes that are involved in this whole examination, from the time the candidate is registered for an examination right through to certification. As you can see, it's a major cycle involving milestones all along the way, critical milestones. Starting, as I said, with the registration of the candidates on the system, on the department's National Examinations and Assessment System, the setting of question papers, printing, packaging, and distribution of question papers, the actual writing of the examinations, the monitoring, reporting, that is where the whole process of, what do we call this, where students are caught copying and so forth, irregularities. All of those processes come into that writing of the examination. And that also impacts on resulting and certification. So as much as it's not highlighted, inside of these processes, there are multiple operations going on. The marking process is another major process. It happens across the country in many different marking centers, and that has to be coordinated. Literally, hundreds of thousands of scripts are marked during these sessions. And you can imagine in the November session, it's a massive session. The moderation processes are undertaken, the capturing of marks, every single candidate, every single paper, it has to be synthesized within the major exam system to produce resulting, which is the next phase. And the resulting phase itself is very scientific, very technical, very analytic. A big part of it is performed by the quality assurers. The DHET is delegated those functions for N4 to N6 by the QCTO. So the exams unit performs a good bit of those functions on behalf of the QCTO for now. Going forward, of course, that will have to change. So that is the whole cycle, Chair, that is undertaken for any single exam, and it's the biggest undertaking for the November exam. So with that, we come into the whole certification domain and the examination system by way of introduction. In the NCV, that's where the hard work has happened. To some extent, it's also a little bit easier to manage because it's the only, well, apart from the GETC, one-year qualification. Each level is conducted over a full academic year. The overall examination IT system has improved, and it meets most of the operational certification requirements. And DHSCTA and UMALUSI have to work together with the data interfaces to ensure that that certification is possible. So certification requirements, this relates to certification requirements achieved over multiple examination cycles and the processing of certificates, and certification requirements on lower levels which were met after achieving the higher level. Those are some of the kind of caveats, so to speak, that we often have to deal with in a regular exam cycle, especially with the NCV. Because it would be very typical for candidates in the NCV to, for example, pass four or five subjects. They would even qualify for the NSFAS funding. That's a requirement. If they pass five subjects at a level, they can progress to the next level, carry subjects, and it would be a split level, and which means they are offering subjects at two levels. But they cannot get the next certificate until the previous certificate is completed. That would be the logic. So data completeness checks are time-consuming, as you can imagine, integrating all the systems. And analyses have to be done, and that's the next point is very important. On a record-by-record basis, each candidate's record has to be tracked because it is unique, and, you can't deal with them in batches. And once the underlying alignment matter is identified, that's a technical part. Scripts are written to do database-wide scans where these are possible. On the side of the NATED, the overall examination system functionality has also improved and does meet most operational certification requirements, which means it is able to generate certificates in its operational functionality. The same with the business studies as two semesters where batch certification is possible with minimal challenges. And you'll see this refrain coming through. As much as we have the NATED qualifications, the challenges and the numbers, because the engineering is trimesterized and the business studies is semesterized, just that simple issue of the duration of those certificates has significant knock-on effects on certification, the processes, the procedures, the numbers, and all of that. In terms of the general education and training certificate, which is in the adult education domain, analyses were done to identify the certification processes not completed by provinces. There's a huge interface with provinces where adult education is concerned. Much of the functionality still sits there, so our national exam system has to work with the provinces. These were completed on behalf of the provinces, and data was aligned to enable provinces to continue with the certification process. That's an important point because they are entrusted to do that and to reduce the outstanding certificates. So provinces are currently continuing with their certification processes. The National Certification Warehouse has been introduced to facilitate certification combinations across provinces, which allows for candidate movement. So that's another thing that has to be tracked across provinces, and it has systems implications to be able to do that. And these were the challenges that have been reported and which fortunately have been addressed, where candidates offered learning areas on both old and new curricula. We have both curricula, and these had to be combined. So the system has to have the functionality to do that. And in some candidates, not all candidate records approved for certification were extracted to be submitted to UMALUSI. So that's about provision of data to UMALUSI for the issue of certificates. We thought we should cover some of the reasons why we do end up with this whole issue of certification backlogs. It's not desirable. We really don't want it. But, you know, there are situations that present themselves where we end up with backlogs. So the current examination system, which we are still using, did not adequately meet the functional requirements of all the different kinds of variations that we covered in the preceding slides. So it's all around fundamentally data integration. That sits at the heart of everything. The system functionality has improved over the past few years, and in the data that we are going to present in the subsequent slides, it is important to track how over the preceding years there has been a chipping away at the certification backlog because of the system improved. The current system has been improved. That's the one part we have had to deal with, dealing with the current system, but at the same time in parallel, and we will share that with you, we are working on developing the new system that will become functional and take over what we currently have. But of course, we couldn't just leave the current system where it is because we had to make sure we introduce efficiencies within that existing system. So in terms of the NATED, what we have found that some candidates are missed by an automated batch certification process. It's just something that gets skipped in the information technology system, given its complexity and the volume. And some full certificates means a certificate is full anyway, which means it has all the subjects. For candidates qualifying multiple examination cycles, that has been a big challenge, are not being combined. The system is not built to automatically generate. It does not piece together the completion of candidates over different cycles and then reads it as a candidate who has fulfilled all the requirements for that certificate. The system is not able to do that. So the consequence is it has to be done almost manually. And you can well imagine in a system as massive as this, and it's like a roller coaster ride happening in an academic year, that is when candidates are missed. So processing steps of exam cycles are not being executed or being executed out of step or sequences. That's how candidates fall out of a sequence. Examinations irregularities that need investigation would also impact on certification because until those processes are completed and there's an outcome on those irregularities, candidates cannot be resulted. And if they are not resulted, even if they qualify, they cannot be certificated. Late or partial submissions of internal assessment raw marks, and that has to do with the TVET colleges and CET colleges. If those are not submitted and not loaded onto the system, because of the requirements of the qualification, or even just at the certificate level, it will not be possible to produce a result, and then ultimately the certificate to indicate that the candidate has met all the requirements, all the components for that certificate. And certificates which were processed for certification by UMALUSI but not yet printed due to non-payment of the certification fees by private colleges. That's the process that UMALUSI has in place, that a fee will be paid before private candidates are issued with their certificates. We'll give you a sense of those numbers and what the cost implications are. Further reasons for certification backlogs, there are, of course, systemic problems in the IT system to correctly certify candidates and submit these requests for certification to the quality assurer to issue a certificate. So the resolution of these kinds of problems to correctly certify candidates is what we would term a backlog for a particular candidate. Inconsistent data and changes in the data, there is an element of instability in the data information system. Results are approved and released, but when there are changes, which means there's another batch of results released, there's inconsistency that emerges, and the resulting process that came through earlier could change. And that has to do with instability, and it means there has to be verification conducted to know what the true result is. Incomplete resulting of candidates after an examination, which means all 100% of the candidates who set the exam are not resulted immediately at one go or in one process, and it could be staggered. The inability of the IT system to perform combination of results, that we just spoke about that, and you'll find it coming up quite frequently. Outstanding marks of candidates, they cannot be resulted. Sometimes it's about the coding system that was used on the mark sheets. For example, if a candidate was initially absent and then it changes to a valid mark, the evidence has to be provided. The change can't just be effected. The evidence must first be provided to ensure that it's an acceptable change on the system. Changes in captured marks, calculations not correctly applied on the IT system, which lead to rejections of certification requests by the quality assurer. That means the rejection actually happens at the end of the process. Outstanding certificates for prerequisite level, that means you have to complete the lower level. Students would have maybe completed two levels and are requesting a higher level, but they actually don't have their previous level certificate as yet. So it's about getting the sequence right. They must get their first certificate. If it's N4 must be generated before N5 can be produced. NCV level 2 must be before NCV level. The actual certificate must be generated. Then candidates certified by Umalusi, but certificates are withheld because of outstanding accounts. We've already spoken about that. Chair, just a bit of a update on the certification backlog, where we are. We presented to you in the first week of September. That was the previous update that we provided. The 11th of September numbers shows where we were with the NCV at that stage. This data is as of 20th October. On 11th of September, when we presented, or when that's when the data was run, we had 438 certificates that were outstanding relating to candidates who needed to be certificated at one sitting, which means they sat in one sitting, they passed the seven subjects, and they needed to be issued with certificates. That backlog as of 20th October is 308. So there's a shift of about 130 certificates over this month and a half period. Candidates who sat in multiple exam sessions and completed a certificate over more than one sitting, because this is a year qualification, it runs over a full academic year, the certification backlog as of 21 November last year in 2018 was 40,175. The data we have verified as of 20th October this year, which is last month, is at 15,985. We didn't want to put it here, but our check to date, currently, that number has dropped close to 10,000. So as we sit here, that number has come down closer to 10,000. In terms of the NATED backlogs, as at 8th of October, which means after the second trimester, and the first semester, that would be. In terms of engineering studies and the exam cycles we are tracking are from the November 2015 examinations through to the November 2018 for all the years in between. Those are the number of candidates who are implicated in those sessions. If you look at the engineering studies, it's just over 1.5 million candidates. The certification backlog there is 2020, And we have indicated that in percentages simply to illustrate the volume. And we want to acknowledge every single outstanding certificate is important. It affects a candidate. So the sole purpose of indicating those percentages is simply for, you know, to track whether any progress is being made or not over a period of time. In terms of business studies, it's just under 1.3 million candidates and 178 outstanding certificates for the same period of time. Now, this is what I indicated earlier. Same qualification, but what a significant difference it makes because of the number of sittings in a year. The engineering has three trimesters, so it's three sessions. The business studies has two sessions. It's because it's semesterized. And can you see the impact on the numbers, how different? It says something about running too many sittings of an examination for a particular qualification. It's something as a department we have to rethink in the qualifications that we offer. So in the engineering studies, just by way of illustration, across the 3 years, 15, no, 4 years actually, this is just a snapshot to say how the numbers have moved. And if we look at the percentage, the total certification backlog, as at November 2018, it's at 0.13% coming through from all of those exam cycles. It starts off with November 2015, the three sessions in 2016 for engineering, the three sessions in 2017, and the three sessions in 2018. With regard to 2019, we can say that for candidates, the regular candidates who have written, who have qualified, we have managed to keep abreast of issuing certificates within the three-month period. So that would be our status quo for 2019, for the 2019 candidates, that certification for students in the current year is by and large happening within real time, as we would call it, except where the other conditions still apply, such as irregularities, leakages of papers, non-submission of marks, and those kinds of things. Those conditions would still prevail. In terms of the business studies, an indication here again for the same period, but it's two sessions per year, the backlog is 178 certificates, and that gives us a total percentage of the certification backlog sitting at 0.01% over this four-year period. In terms of the certification backlog for the General Education and Training Certificate, we see as at 6th of September, it was 58,165. This is also an annual qualification. It's run, the candidates studied over a one-year period. As at 20th October, it's 43,737. The movement there doesn't seem to be significant. All that significant, but the explanation as we provided at the bottom there, Chair, is with the capacity that we had, there had to be prioritization of where the huge numbers were sitting. You saw that in engineering, for example, native engineering candidates for the same period were in excess of a million, 1.5 million candidates and so forth. So we had to look at the really significant numbers. And as we have indicated here, that the team now will concentrate on the General Education and Training Certificate as we began to make inroads on the other qualifications. But that's not to say it's any less important. It's just about the prioritization process. In terms of the backlog for the private exam centers for the N3 and the NSC, it shows that there was a backlog of 4,496. And 135 private colleges were implicated in these statistics. In the NCV, 342 candidates were affected in 28 colleges in the private system offering it. And as you can see, Uma Lucy will release the certificates when the accounts have been settled by the colleges or the individual candidates. And a costing of these outstanding certificates, what this means for Uma Lucy in rand terms is just over 4.2 million. That means that's the amount of money Uma Lucy would have to recoup in order to issue those certificates. Chair, in terms of the interventions, these are the kinds of measures that we put in place to improve, to effect improvements and to get to where we want to get. That means 100% certification in real time. Real time means the 3 months turnaround time that we have set. At the management levels, we have managerial, technical, and manual processes. Even where we required manual processes to expedite certificates, we have put those in place. So we have been implementing bi-weekly management and progress meetings involving the DHET. You know, it's chaired by the DG, Sita, and Uma Lucy. There has been a weekly technical meeting where all technical issues are discussed. That's within the actual system, IT system, where the specialists well understand how the system works to unblock any blockages there, the barriers, as we refer to here. The sourcing of outstanding certificate lists from TVET colleges. TVET colleges generally rely on candidates to put pressure on them to get the certificates issued. So the National Exams Unit has been asking colleges to issue lists of students who would qualify. They would know students who qualify, and to submit those lists so that those candidates' records, in this instance, it would be the candidates' records would be pieced together manually because they qualify, and then to indicate that they qualify for a certificate so that the certificate can be issued. So there's almost like a push initiative from the exams unit to really find the candidates that qualified and to be able to produce their certificates. Then there is a monthly certification task team to tackle candidate certification, the actual certificates, and to unblock the processes in the issuing of these certificates. So you can see it's at different levels and with all the stakeholders involved. So wherever the blockages are, through these meetings, they can be addressed and the candidates can receive their certificates. An initiative that we have to improve service delivery to our students and candidates, there is a system that will be implemented where students can track their own certificates through an e-tracking system. The DHET and the CETA have commenced with the development of this e-tracking solution that will allow both the colleges and the candidates to view the academic results and to check the certification status, where about in the entire value chain the certification, the issue of the certificate is. And this is is managed via the e-government portal. So it will provide quicker and easier access to information to the candidates. They will be able to do it themselves. In other words, they will not have to rely on the college or on the national examinations and assessment unit in the department. And it will result in a reduced number of queries that the department actually receives from candidates, which we currently do on quite a large scale. Chair, just an update on the new IT system, which, as I said earlier, is running concurrently. As we have been trying to improve the current system, we are also working very hard on the new examinations IT system. A private provider is involved, and they have been building the system on the design side and developing all the specs and the full functionality. It's also a massive integrated system over the past 2 years, at least, two and a half years, is where the building has been taking place. And this system will be called the IEITS, the Integrated Examination IT System. That's what the acronym is for. It has already been developed. It has been designed. And NCV Level 2 and NATED N42N6, it deals with those particular qualifications. The system is built around those two. And it deals with all the milestones involving candidates from the time they are registered, from the time of student registrations, capturing of marks, resulting in certification, and they have been tested with the user community, with Uma Lucy. So it's a whole, as you can imagine, a massive project, and even as we list them here, it doesn't do justice to all the functionalities. If we were to list the functionalities that have been built into the system, it would be quite a long list. It would be about the irregularities, tracking the irregularities, the disciplinary hearings, the appeals process, timetables, the marking system. Everything has been built into the system. How even foreign students, how they would be dealt with if they had to enroll as candidates. Every conceivable functionality that we could think of that affects candidates and who enroll at colleges has been considered and built into the system. The focus now is on data migration from the legacy system, which is a system that we currently have, the development of the training manuals, and the finalization of testing on other levels and qualifications, across levels and across other qualifications. So where we are now is the system has been built. There's offline testing happening currently, but the real test of the system, as we know, will always be the online testing. That's the highest stakes that you can subject a system to. And whilst the online testing is going on with the data being migrated from the legacy system onto the new system, the live system we are expected to test around mid-year next year. But what that says is that a substantial amount of the development has already happened. In essence, it is a functional system, but we are testing it offline. And that is major progress already. So the deployment of the new solution is planned to be implemented in a staggered approach, one qualification at a time. So one of the first qualifications to be tested online will be the one that is written early next year, which is around April. The engineering is the first trimester, is the first exam where the live system can be used and it can be tested. And that will be next year. And business studies will come on board in June, and of course the biggest cycle is in November. So that will be the real test of the new system, whether it has met all the requirements. So in terms of the challenges and some interventions we have put in place, we have indicated before that where the data is not aligned in some instances, because of the systems that have to interface, the DHET system with the CETA system, with the Uma Lucy system, three different systems that have to result in the final certification of students. Those kinds of alignments, we have been able to deal with them through the DHET, Uma Lucy, and CETA, performing completeness checks and ensuring that the identification and alignment of data anomalies were addressed. Through these meetings that we mentioned earlier, those are the typical kind of things that would be addressed there, and through batch testing and so forth. Where there has been the inability of the IT system to process some of the historical credit transfers from DBE qualifications, that means the NSC qualification of DBE, they can achieve a college qualification with a combination of subjects. These are done manually. Where the system can't do it to mitigate that, and the system functionality has been enhanced. There is an enhancement to accommodate the credit transfer. So there is, an additional dimension to deal with that in the current system. In some instances, candidates claim that they have not received the certificates, yet the records show that the certificates were sent to the TVET colleges. That is why the e-tracking system is put in place, because the candidate can see exactly where the certificate is. If it's at the college, then they need to go to the college and make sure that the college is able to provide them with a certificate. Some issued certificates are withheld by private colleges. We've covered that. And private colleges are encouraged to make payment arrangements with candidates. That's a responsibility of the college, because they register these candidates. That is the arrangement in the private system, and they must make sure that either they factor it into the fees when the candidates register with them, or they get candidates to pay it separately. Delay in clearing alleged exam irregularities is to ensure that the committees meet to address the irregularity issues and to have an outcome as soon as possible, so that if the candidates are cleared, then they can be resulted and they can be issued with their certificates if they meet the requirements. The last one is an interesting one, Chair, that on the e-query system, an analysis has been conducted and it's found that most candidates who request certificates, and persistently so, are actually candidates who do not meet the requirements, who do not in essence qualify, but they would persistently lodge queries asking for certificates. So what we have decided to do there is to actually conduct workshops with TVET exam officials and student representatives to make sure that even students are informed of what the full requirements are for them to be certificated, because if they don't meet the requirements, they cannot expect to have a certificate, no matter how many routes they go to request the certificate. They've either met the requirements or they haven't. So some level of education in that respect is required, and that's what the department has committed to. In terms of the way forward, of course, to improve the efficiency in the system, we are developing an effective communication strategy that will include the automation of system through the e-tracking system, advocacy on training, as we said, what really a student needs to meet in order to be provided with a certificate, so that they don't demand, in a sense, certificates when they don't meet the qualification requirements. The building of capacity at regional level by establishing certification committees and to do kind of accurate data collection right from the coal face where the data originates. To strengthen the use of social media platform, because we know that's what young people use a lot to address outstanding certificates, and to continue to collect and analyze data from colleges on outstanding certificates, and to, you know, drive that push strategy that I spoke about earlier. In conclusion, Chair, the DHET, CETA, and Umalusi, we continue to work together. These meetings that I spoke about earlier continue. We are fully committed. Should we be scared? Not. Okay. Okay. All right. As you can see, it is not a choice. It is absolutely imperative that we work together as the different stakeholders to make sure that we are able to generate certificates on time to all qualifying students, and the team is confident that all that we have put in place will take us there in the near future. The team has started to formally address all the outstanding certificates and has brought about significant progress, as you could see in the data that has been presented over a four-year period, has been significant. And dealing with backlogs, I must say, is by far more challenging, by far more demanding than dealing now with the current students who are qualifying and to generate their certificates. So the toughest period, really, I think the pinnacle of the challenges, I think we've crossed that, and getting into a regular rhythm of producing these certificates. And of course, the expectation is that the new IT system will assist in curbing the certification backlog and building business intelligence that will combine candidate information across all the exam cycles. And with that, thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you. I hope members have been taking notes. So that is the presentation covering all the entities. I did not see why is Umalusi featuring, why is CETA featuring. All what I saw is the efforts of the department in the main. See, the reason why we wanted Umalusi and Sita and the department, there are three stakeholders who are working on this. I had, for instance, expected to get an understanding of the role of CETA in the process of issuing the certificates. What does CETA do? What is the interaction between CETA and the department? What does Umalusi do in certification? For instance, where I understand the system's problem, that the IT system, the integration, and the cycle, and you're running all, you know, you're running this massive exercise of examinations. But I would have expected CETA to tell us what do they do. And how do they do it? And that was lacking, and for me it's a bit more frustrating because almost this is the same kind of just it has been enhanced a little bit, but it looks like this is what we received in the past, and that's why we said, okay, let's call CETA, let's call Umalusi, everybody under one roof. Let's understand what are the roles of each of these stakeholders. I don't know who took the decision to have an integrated presentation, because certainly that's not what our directive was. Our directive was to say presentation by department, by Umalusi, by SIT. We have done this before where we think that is necessary. That's why we've invited everybody here. So I'm going to ask probably SIT just to give us a sense of what is your role in the whole process, how do you do it, and your interface with the department, and then get to Umalusi to do the same to us. Unfortunately, you don't have a PowerPoint, but that's what we wanted in any case. Okay, let me hand over to yourself and to CETA. I don't know who in CETA is going to do that.
Thank you, Chair. You'll make the technical explanation of what CETA does. I just wanted to make a few comments to say that we've worked in this past 4 years to try and remove the blame game and try and say we are a team. When there's a problem, we sit together, which is why the task teams and meet on a regular basis, so that we can say there's a problem here, there's a technical problem. How do you unblock that? And the client and CETA actually sit together to do that. So that was really the logic of how we arrived at having a common presentation, because then it moves the attention and focus from saying, okay, CETA didn't do this, or Department of Education didn't do this, or Umalusi didn't issue the certificate, and those kinds of things. So it was really about trying to be more efficient and effective and dealing with the real problems. But can you just explain the role?
Okay, thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. Chair, I think when we look at CETA's role, there's a number of things that we do, and members as well, that there's a number of things that we do in respect of addressing the backlog. Let's start at a process level. Part of the presentation outlined the process that is followed. So from a CETA perspective, we also track the processes that executed, and we try to also see where are the improvement opportunities. So which part, which of the processes can we actually implement controls in the system to ensure that the processes that are supposed to be executed are executed in sequence. So that's one particular area that we look at. Then the other area that we look at is from an application perspective. So this is the actual software that we look. So what we've got is we've got the business processes combined with the business rules, and the solution must actually meet those requirements. So what we do from a CETA perspective, because this is very old systems that we are dealing with. It's what we call a legacy systems. In actual fact, some of the coding of the system is actually written in Afrikaans. So we actually work our way through the system, through the rules, to try to pick up where are the issues coming in. So what's the business requirements? What has the system got to offer? And where should we bring about the changes? We have actually weeded out quite a number of the issues over the past few years, as well as the processes. The execution of the process at AWS, as was mentioned earlier, that has been sort of stabilized and streamlined right now. The system, most of the challenges that was actually identified, that has been sort of addressed. So from a CETA perspective, we actually provide the systems analysis and the software development processes linked to the applications itself, right? Another area that we also look at is from a data perspective. So,
I don't know whether you're of assistance. What is the role of CETA in the production of certificates? Do you do it? Because you're talking about process. I don't know what process is that. You must tell us what is the role of CETA, because we don't know what CETA does and why is it doing that and how is it doing it.
Okay, sure, yeah. Let me try to relook at that.
I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who's very slow in comprehension. But really, you are not answering the question. The question is, what is the role of CETA?
The role of CETA basically is to provide and maintain the software application that the Department of Higher Education and Training utilizes to produce the certificates. Our role, furthermore, is then to support the department in terms of the processing of the data on the system to produce the certificates. And I know it might be a little bit technical, though, but part of this process means that we need to produce data sets that get sent to Umalusi to actually do the resulting and the certification.
Okay. Umalusi.
Mr. Chairperson, I'll just be brief by saying that as a quality council, Umalusi is mandated to quality assure the qualifications, as has been indicated, that fall under its sub-framework. And it is responsible for the National Certificate Vocational NCV levels 2, 3, and 4, and also for the quality assurance of the NATED programs N2 and N3, but only issues certificates for N3. The certificates for N1, N2, N4, to N6 are issued by the department. In terms of its mandate, which I think is your question, what is our role? Umalusi is required to develop and implement policies for the quality assurance within its sub-framework. Umalusi is also required to maintain a database of learner achievements that is reliable in order to submit all certified learners' records to the National Learner Record Database of SACWA. And then just two more things. In order to fulfill its mandate of issuing certificates, Umalusi depends on the assessment bodies, whether it's a DBE or DHET or IEB, to submit the request for certification according to the regulation and directives for certification. They have to request. And the challenge Umalusi is facing is that we do not have control over the submission of data sets for certification in terms of completeness. Therefore, Umalusi cannot comment on the number of outstanding certificates. Moreover, to comply With the quality assurance aspect, the request for certification data must be, and I think this is very important, Honourable Chair, it must be thoroughly scrutinised and validated before certificates can be issued. Unfortunately, it must be reported that several rejections happen before certificates are issued, and that contributes to the backlog. I think the certificates that are withheld due to the count of private colleges being in arrears is not regarded as a backlog. And the same applies to candidates who did not complete the prerequisite, as has been explained, levels, but have passed a higher level. And we are really looking forward to the implementation of the integrated examination system. I think it's going to make a big difference. Just finally to say that Umalusi regards both the successes and the challenges as a joint, we take joint responsibility together with the DHET and CEO.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The directive to do a joint presentation was from the previous committee. And I want to agree with the Chairperson that maybe if we had to do separate presentations to share more light, not to come and engage in a blame game, but just to give the proper context of the different roles that we fulfill for this committee to get the full picture of what we do. Now, maybe just to add to what Prof. Volmink has already said, that the role of Umalusi as a quality council is to do oversight. We're a quality assurance body, we do monitoring, and we have to satisfy ourselves that certain standards are met before we can certify learner achievements. And that is done through different things, and I'm just going to give the highlights. First of all, the papers that are written have to be approved by Umalusi to say they meet the curriculum standards, they meet the subject assessment guidelines. And then once those papers are written, we check that they are written according to policy, and we do monitoring. And with the capturing of the learner marks, we have to ensure that where the department captures the marks of the learners, they do that according to policy. One of the requirements is that there has to be double capturing, so that where I've captured, somebody else has to come and check whether I've captured the mark sheet accordingly, so that we don't mix up the marks of the learners. We quality assure that. We do oversight. And once we are satisfied that all the processes have followed policy and there are no irregularities that are systemic, we through the chairperson of council and the council, approve the release of the results. What is important to note is that at that stage, there may be centers where there are irregularities, where the results are withheld because of the irregularities. There could be learners who have been caught with crib notes, whose results are withheld, and so forth and so on. But we then approve the release of the results. And then with the release of the results, we then wait for the department to issue the results to the learners. And once they've consolidated the results of the learners, they submit the batches to Umalusi for certification. And the colleague has been saying that it is a three-month period. Now, if you turn to slide number 8, which Mayor Runasi spoke to, it highlights some of the challenges that we face as Umalusi at the point when we have to certify. I'm just going to briefly talk to a few. The reasons for certification backlogs continues. I'll take slide number 8 for in the interest of time. Systemic problems in the information technology system to correctly certify candidates and submit requests for certification to the quality assurance body or to issue the certificate, that has to be resolved, because sometimes we get data that is unreliable. Unless the batches are submitted to us for certification, we cannot do anything. We wait until the batches are submitted, and once the batches are submitted, we check whether the correct batches have been submitted. Everything is correct. Because if anything is corrupted, the challenge that we face is that we'll issue certificates that are unreliable, and it will affect the currency of the qualification. Bullet number two there says inconsistent data and changes in data. At the point of resulting, a student might have obtained a particular mark. If the mark changes at the point of certification, there has to be reasons provided to say why are these marks changing. If there are no reasons provided, we cannot certify. There has to be evidence to say the mark is changing from 50 to 60 for these reasons. If the mark changes and there are no reasons, we cannot certify because then that data is corrupted. Incomplete resulting data of candidates after an examination, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, Chairperson, you'll realize that we are at the tail end of things. However, we work, like Professor Volmik has indicated, as a team with the colleagues. The DG is coordinating meetings every Monday where the department, CETA and numerous meets to look at the problems. And the problems are being resolved under the leadership of the DG. Having said that, once we would have certified and a learner has received his certificate, we work with SAQA according to the NQF Act that we upload the records of the learners to the National Learner Records Database. However, the learners who fall in the category of certificate backlogs would not have that privilege of getting the certificate and also of having their information uploaded on the National Learner Records Database. In summary, Chair, that is our submission.
Okay. I think it's much clearer from what Malus is responsible for, their mandate, how they do it. I can't say the same with CETA. It's so much confusion on the explanation. I don't know. I have not developed a clear idea in my mind what CETA is responsible for. So maybe other members did pick up. They will assist some of us who are still not clear in the process of asking their question. I see there is a hand from Honorable Ngobo, from Honorable Mananiso, from Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Sibiya, Honorable Litsie, and Honorable Mkacho, in that order. Okay. Honorable Gates will be the last. Honorable Nodada.
Thank you, Chair. Can I go and speak there? I want to seek compassion.
Okay.
There is no microphone.
I know this is a subject that is close to your heart. I was wondering why you were not here when we started. Honorable Ngobo.
My apologies, Chair, for arriving at this time. It was circumstances beyond my control. I may explain to the Chair maybe later. But Chair, first of all, indeed, we never invited Umalusi and CETA. I remember quite clearly what the Chair said that day. We invited the department, and actually we were specific. The minister had to respond to some issues. And it's surprising that today we are getting Umalusi, we are getting the CETA, and Umalusi, Professor Volmink and Tatera Kometse. We appreciate their presence anyway, but they are not helping us, not a bit. We know the role of Umalusi. We know the role of CETA. And actually, the presenter of the department that day actually put the blame squarely on the CETA, repeatedly. I am surprised, therefore, Chair, for starters, that I do not see the minister, I do not see the deputy minister, I do not see the DG, but I do understand that might have been cleared, or maybe at the beginning of the meeting they might have apologized. But I take exception to that, because this meeting is quite important and it's quite some time now. the invitation was extended. And even the presenter of the department knows that she is not helping us. Our problem was there is a backlog in certification examinations. There is a problem in examinations and certification. The specific problem with certification is that there is a backlog. And we wanted answers to that. And she is coming here to tell us what they do, how they do it, what they have done, how they have reduced the backlog and so on. They have not responded to the question of why the learners are not being issued with the certificates. They are not telling us that. We're talking thousands, 40,000. There is another figure. It's 50-something or 30-something. I'm not even interested in papers, though, but let me be interested anyway. Chairperson, my apologies for sounding like this, but now it is really raising the temperatures. And in fact, I shouldn't be apologetic for that. I shouldn't be. I do wonder whether the head of department, and I'm saying that with due respect, is sufficiently qualified for that position. I'm saying it again, and I said with due respect.
Head of which department?
Of the Department of Higher Education. Unless I'm wrong, I'm wrong, Chairperson, that he is leading everything. He is the leader on top. And therefore he has to know why the learners are not getting their certificates, and he is okay with it. Yes, Chair, I do, and I can see that the Chair is not quite happy by this pronouncement. I am saying, Chair, TVET colleges are under the higher education, which is led by Minister Bladen Zimande, and I respect him. It's the person who actually initiated this. And he had a passion, a lot of passion on it. I remember that he was every day on the radio, every day on the TV, trying to convince people that there was nothing wrong with the TVET colleges, because they were feeling that everybody had to go through to the universities. And he was actually educating people. And when learners get into these TVET colleges now, they don't receive certification. Should we take 40,000 or 50,000 as something not quite serious, not sufficiently serious? Should we listen to somebody saying, at least we are busy doing something about it, we are reducing the backlog? Should we listen to somebody saying, we are working together as a team with the CETA and with Umalus? We are not interested in that. We are interested in the production of certificates. And actually, they do owe us a reason why these learners have not been given certificates. And once they give us that reason, one will have to weigh whether there shouldn't be consequences for that. And whoever is responsible for that consequence management will have to make sure that there are consequences for that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Ngo.
Yes, but the Chair is stopping me because I'm giving a lecture. I don't know. But
The issue is just time, Honorable Ngo. Nothing more. Was that not your last question?
It wasn't even a question. I had not started questioning. I was kind of expressing myself on the issue that this is not fair, what is happening. It's not fair. It is just not fair. The presenter that day understood quite clearly what we wanted. I was still going to be getting into question. But I am okay, Chair.
No, it's fine. If I
have sufficient, I'm sorry to interject you, Chair.
Okay.
I am happy that at least I have expressed myself this way. It doesn't matter to go into questions one by one, because I will not be assisted anyway. I can see it now. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Ngwebo. I didn't want to stop you. I was just looking at time, but your comments, I'm sure everybody has been listening. maybe just to clarify, Honorable Ngwebo, I did invite Sita and Umalusi for the mere reasons that they were cited as stakeholders in the production of the certificates. So we didn't want somebody to be here and say, no, Sita is supposed to do this or Umalusi. So we wanted everybody under one roof. That's the rationale for me doing that. But I take your points about other things. Okay, who's next? Was it Honorable Boshoff? Oh, Malaniso, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Let me firstly acknowledge the presentation, because that's how we do it. For me, being consistent, I acknowledge the presentation. However, I've got frustration that I would want to pose as questioning with regards to the presentation. One is that with the experience of certification backlog, this thing has happened from 2007. And can you give us indication if you have dealt with 2007 to before 2012 certification backlog as 100%? That if we go back in our society, we cannot get anybody who would say that till today from those 2007, they don't have their certificate. Secondly, my other question is, for me, as the chair started, certification is a right of access for better prospects, be it from a CET point of view or NCV. And I just want to check, why do you prioritize, why you can deal with them simultaneously and give them attention? Because with the picture that we are seeing on page 13, it is a bad picture. It's as if we are promoting inequalities. Because you would know, ECT is for those who are underprivileged and who could have suffered the most with regards to the previous government and so on. So I want to check, why are you not giving all these institutions attention as they deserve them all at the same time? The other thing is, so far, how much of this money, there's a money that has been allocated, right, to deal with this backlog. So I want to check till today, because on the presentation, there's indication in terms of how many certificate backlog has been issued till to date from September and October. Ne? So I want to check vis-a-vis the money that already has been spent. The other one, Chairperson, you know, when you go to TVET colleges, there's a problem of customer service from the first point where you deal with administration. I want to check if there's any capacity building program that speaks to Batupeli or customer service, because that's where most of the things are happening in our TVET colleges, and we don't get satisfactory services there. At times, that is why our young people, they don't feel like TVET is the institution of choice. It's because of this bad customer service from that point of TVET. Page 9 on this presentation, certification backlog as at 11 September 2019, 438. Certification backlog as at 20 October 2019. I mean, this is a reflection of an ICU. There's nothing that is happening. I mean, if you can just check the numbers, I mean, we really, people are not being serviced as supposed to. On page 18, what happens in a case of non-compliance with the intervention stated on page 18, where you are reporting on other issues? And my last question, Chairperson, and as well the advice, is that I have seen that they have introduced the e-tracking. However, most of our people who are still using CET as their service point and SCV, some of them are disadvantaged. They don't even have cell phones to even access internet. So why are you not introducing as well the campaign of Zivese, so that people can come personally? So you, as people who are servicing them, you go to regions and provinces to say, people come and register yourself if you've got this issue of a certificate backlog. Because this thing of e-tracking is going to leave other people behind who can access internet. So I want to propose that perhaps you need to have one of the outreach program as Siveze, where you go take your field workers to go and register those who are having this issue. And Chairperson, lastly, as I conclude, I think Mr. Ngobo was correct by venting out. Why do this particular department had to even have to have a big concept of certification backlog? So are we, at some point, are we not dreaming not to have this particular thing as a problem? For me, we can't be continuously conceptualizing problems. So I believe that time frames in terms of specifics, not, we must not be told about 3 months. 3 months is vague. Can we have specific time frames to say by January, by February, this will happen, and so on, so that as MPs, when we play our oversight, we are able to track accordingly. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Bosho.
Thank you, Mr. J, and our esteemed guests. I think that we actually should not confuse explanation with excusing. I think what the presenter did was to explain how the backlog came about, and if I could summarize it correctly, or she could help me if I don't, then the basic problem is that we have a multitude of qualification with many settings, and it's difficult to integrate all that data. That's actually what she said, and that is an IT problem. So that is why we have CETA here today. So that seems to me to be quite appropriate. What I want to know is that we've identified two problems. The one is a multitude of settings, and I want to know, is there a way to reduce it, or is it just the nature of the native that it is in trimesters and it can't be in semesters or in any other form? So is there a way to reduce that? And then also, yeah, and then actually she mentioned, and the gentleman from CETA also mentioned that they're working on the IT. So it's work in progress. Nobody expects a miracle overnight. And then the third thing I just would like to ask is, what preceded the present system? Did we have a completely decentralized system in which each college just issued its own certificates? Because clearly it seems to me that there was a system which used to work but had serious shortcomings and therefore had to be, had to be replaced with something better, and that something better seems to have had some technical problems, which we are tending to now. So what preceded it, and are we better off now? Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Mab Suya.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. I am becoming lost now. You are saying system functionality has been improved. Again, there are challenges which are being addressed. But you are still saying certificates which were processed for certification by Umalus not yet printed.
Okay. I would like to know, are there any, particular person, are there any consequence management which has Malusi implemented against those colleges, and which are those colleges? And when is the department, Zita and Malusi, planning to eradicate all old certification backlog dating back to 2007 for NCV and 2002 for the NATED programs? I thank the chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Letsia.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I must just at the very beginning agree that in future, I think the CETA or Malus, the chair sends an apology.
CETA,
yeah, they must know that we have rejected that apology, because I'm sure we did not send an invitation on Thursday last week. Mm. It's something that we we sent a long time ago, and if really there was a pre-planned activity, they could have informed us on time and not on the day of the meeting. Secondly, I want to agree with Honorable Ngobo that really we seem like we have serious problems. And I want to inform all three entities here that since the 3rd of June 2015, they've came before this committee 11 times. I can count them the dates if really they think I'm lying. 3 June, 10 June 2015, 12 August 2015, 3 February 2016, 31 August 2016, 14 June 2017, 1 August 2017, 5 October, 23 May 2018, 15 August 2018, 29 November 2018. So it's 11 times since they've been here. And from inception, the first meeting, the committee had called them for a briefing on certification backlog. My notes, it clearly says each meeting what they discussed. But over and above that, they had the three entities had set themselves a target of end of January 2016 to eradicate certification backlog. In February, when they came here, they had not met the target. They then requested for a June 2016 target. Of course, we've got there are technicalities. The NCV, we want to finish it in May. The other one, NATED or whatever, NATED or whatever that one is, want to finish here, and so forth. But today we are getting a briefing or a presentation from the same entities. They're saying it's a combined, collective presentation, a true reflection of what they've agreed on, all three of them, and still today we have backlogs. From 2015, they had identified already that there's a problem with their software, their IT thing. Today we're still getting the same thing. That now our IT has improved, but you see, we still have problems. So it means we have serious problems with, I suspect it's CETA that deals with this one, but also we have a problem of leadership from the department in dealing with the entity behind them and reporting to them. Maybe they don't understand why they've came here. This is the 12th time, at least, since the 3rd of June. The reason why at least this committee will be obsessed with getting a feedback here is that our kids, our peers, are told to go to school to equip themselves with the necessary skills so that they can participate in the economy. In this country, we have serious challenges of poverty, unemployment, inequalities, and that leads to some of these young ones committing crimes, taking drugs, going to, taking the route of prostitution, sugar daddy syndrome, high teen pregnancies or high pregnancies. We've got too many young people who many of them are unemployed, are sitting at home, they've got nothing else to do because they've went to TVET, they've attended some of this, they can't even go to universities because they've not been accredited or given certificates for previous courses they've attended. So this is a serious issue, at least to us. But it looks like it's not a serious issue to yourselves, because you can't have the same problem from 2015 and you're telling us it's your IT systems. Is it in-house? Maybe you must tell us. Is it in-house? I heard that there's an in-house portion of in-house and portion of outsourcing. You've advertised probably the company met some of the requirements, because if they met all the requirements, they should be able to deal with some of the technical challenges you're telling us. I don't want to enter into details of IT, but I can guarantee you, Chair, if I put something this side and I've put in a system that must give me X on the other side, I should get an X on the other side. But if maybe I don't know what is it that I want to get on the other side, it means I'm going to get something I don't know, and I must first wait for a year to do those things. So I think, Chair, we must agree that the CETA is not assisting us on this problem. The department is equally not overdoing the oversight work properly on this thing. I hear what Umalus is doing, but maybe the department must facilitate this thing, where the three has one system, one IT system, where if results are punched in Sidibeng College, for an example, if the results are punched in there, all Umalusi must do is to verify that the results that are punched in there are correct results. They must just double check. Instead of the results being punched in there, first go to, I'm not sure what is the process, they go to CETA, CETA or the department later, then department must send to Umalusi, then Umalusi must then quality assure. For me, that looks like a long process that would have been relevant in 1983 when some of us were born. But reality is, why in 2017 there must be systems in place where all three can have one system, and you put something here in the Western Cape, some college in the Western Cape, and the results can reflect in real time if the system is live in real time for Umalus. All they can wait for is to verify that, because they are quality assurance, they can just wait to verify that what we are seeing on the system is indeed what appears on the scripts of this student, or what appears that comes from the department. But we can't really, in 2019 now, maybe in 2023, before our term ends, we'll still be crying with certification backlog. I agree they must give us time frames. When are we going to reach zero? I've said, they said in 2016 January. It's almost 4 years now. What are the new time frames? And when can we go, Chair, maybe and see for ourselves at CETA what they do there? Maybe watch their life system. Maybe the entire life system, maybe the entire system, IT system, will not give us the throughput that we want, because it might not be responding to the challenges that the CETA seeks to resolve. Because if you have a system that doesn't address your issues, you are not going to get to day zero. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Mukacho.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We acknowledge the the presentation, but I do want to emphasize what you've said in terms of the fact that in as much as you're trying to synchronize the system or the work that you're doing, I think for the purposes of this meeting, it would have been appreciated for us to have had separate presentations. My questions are, in all of this crisis of an outdated system, and I mean, how are we working with students? How are we working with our graduates to solve some of these issues? They do IT, they do engineering, they do all these things, both in universities and both in TVETs. How are we working with young people to solve the crisis that we currently have? Because maybe they can come up with more innovative ideas on how to address these issues. The portal that is mentioned on page 16, I'd like to understand if it's currently operational and if it is experiencing any challenges. How often does it shut down? Are students genuinely able to access it at any time? On page 7, we speak to the issue of when the student has written multiple examinations and you're trying to collect all that data and trying to make it one. How far are we with resolving this particular part of the crisis? What interventions have been put in place to address that crisis? On page 8, we speak about data, I think, that comes from... So you basically say that at a point of resulting and at a point of what? Issuing certification, you can have different numbers. I am battling to understand who those numbers would have came from. And, I mean, how long does that take? Because that surely should be, really should stagger the process of which you're trying to issue the certificates. So I'd like to understand where that number would have come from, the change in the number. And then on page 11 and page 12, I'm also battling to understand this, and perhaps my thinking is very linear, which society isn't very linear, but linear thinking would say that when you have high candidates writing, you should have a higher backlog. When you have lower candidates, you should have a lower backlog. But when I look at the pattern, it's not guaranteed, it's not linear. But essentially, we would want to have it linear. If we have lower candidates, it should be easier for us to process the certificates, issue the certificates, therefore we should have a lower backlog. If we have higher candidates, it should be more difficult. But the numbers don't reflect that. Maybe someone can try and explain that to me. Chair, I think I've covered all the questions that I had. I'd just like to just double-check. But we are definitely very interested in understanding the time frames and what must happen for things to happen. Like, maybe you guys can tell us that this is actually where the barrier is in terms of the system or the efforts or the interventions that are currently being spoken about not happening, so that we have a clearer understanding as to, maybe we can advise better. Maybe we can look for alternative solutions. So that's very important for that to come out, to say, why are we taking so long to solve this issue? Because we can't continue with the same remedies if they're not working. But lastly, it's very important, Chair, just to reiterate what Honorable Mananiso spoke to on page 18, with regards to, this is painful for me, when a certificate has been issued and the student doesn't have access to it. We know that the certificate is a way of someone getting employment. So we really need to look at how we really buffer or better the TVET system in terms of administrative processes and what Honorable Mananiso spoke to as Batupili. Thank you very much.
Is it Honorable Notad? Honorable Gates, Honorable Nodada wants to be the sweeper. Honorable Nodada wants to be the sweeper, wants to come at the end. Okay, can we get some
lights back, please. Honorable Gates.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Can I ask that also this aircon to be switched off? We're burning now.
Yeah, we've asked that before, but it looks like there's something wrong with the air conditioning here. It's very hot. We complained when we started. Apparently somebody was called, but...
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Tanukol, can you please attend to this thing? Please. Just get the technicians to come and attend to this thing. Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. And the officials from CETA and Umalus together with the department. Maybe Chair must start with making a brief submission of how the office bearers from the department, particularly the minister, the deputy minister, of not availing themselves more often, irrespective of critical issues being engaged. I mean, what we're discussing here today, I, for one, feel like it's a very, very important aspect that ordinarily any of between the minister or the deputy minister must be present. To make things worse, even the director general is not present, and it looks like this issue is not being taken serious. The way it is even being presented, you can see that there is no much effort that is being put to ensure that our learners finally get certificates. I want to convince the chairperson maybe that the officials, the minister and deputy minister, perhaps with the DG, they must start taking this committee seriously. It looks like we're always going to be told about these apologies, in as much as the chairperson of CETAD just said he's going to do his own things. Even these ones, we are not sure whether they are doing those things, because it looks like every day people are overseas, and we did not elect people to be overseas from all the time. But back to the report and the presentation we were given, I find it very awkward for some of the reasons that we are being given in terms of why the certification is being delayed. And I'll explain why, because, you know, some of the problems, you don't even need to bring them here. That's how basic they are. Some of the problems, we are not even supposed to hear about them. They are so simple. I mean, it looks like one was trying to hide some of the things that, you know, you do not want other people to know. I mean, if you are going to say an obvious case, like if you do not have a prerequisite a certification and therefore are not going to give, well, that is a case, we know that. There's no way you can get a report of grade 12 while you don't have a grade 11, because admission essentially will require that. So I feel like it's some level of lazy thinking, or perhaps it's just a lack of facts of what is really happening, because there must have been a proper diagnosis report to understand the real issues, since honorable member, they are saying this start back there in 2013 when they were summoned here and all the commitments and targets were set, but unfortunately nothing has been met. Number one, we want to check the seriousness of this thing. How are these two entities, together with the department? Unfortunately, they are not here, the leaders of the department. I can't talk to you because you might even be afraid to confront those fellows there, because they are your bosses, they are political principals, and from time to time they bully the professionals. it was going to be better if they were here. We want to understand what is so difficult. What is so difficult to produce a certificate? Because I fundamentally disagree with the reasons we are giving here. Number one, you are talking about the incapacity of the information technology within the department. I mean, come on. I mean, really. We waffle every day speaking about the emergence of artificial intelligence, advanced machines. The emergence of the fourth industrial revolution, but we're failing basic thing like that just to make sure that we compose a system that will ensure that the certificates are done on time. I mean, this is just logarithmic. It's basic. You don't need even that much of a lot of money, Comrade Chair. I mean, you go study in UNISA. They have a capacity of more than 300,000 students. They study all over the country. Some of them, they don't only study at UNISA, they study in other institutions. While they carry their modules from UNISA, they don't need to be going through all these things that TVET students are going. They come back with three modules of electrical engineering from UNISA. When they arrive at TUT, it's just a matter of pressing one button and the whole thing is there. What is so difficult? I mean, it's not even a question of saying in TVET space or in these colleges there's just too many students. No. They are very less, Comrade Chair, extremely less for the number to be frustrating our people like this. And I must also echo the inputs made by Manani, so Honorable, to say, from when are you giving the stats of these backlogs? Because it has been happening since we have started knowing that they are TVET. From when? Because we are only seeing 2015 and all that. Does it mean years prior that you do not have issues of backlogs? You only have issues from 2015 moving forward to this side. Comrade Chair, I think I must say also, there's someone, I don't know if it's Umelusi or the CETA, they said there's a colleges or TVETs, they rely on the pressure from students to finally get their certificates at times. I do not know where was that, and I think it's extremely shocking that a student must go and beg a certificate after they have, you know, completed their studies. You must still go back and beg, and you are going to be told that your marks are not correlating, or you did not write, you didn't submit on all that. I mean, it goes back to the quality that we produce in TVET colleges. It goes back to the capacity. Do we have capacity in that space? And I disagree that there's capacity, Comrade Chair. I fundamentally disagree that there is sufficient capacity, because if you are going to speak about the quality of examination that is being produced there, because I think the CETA, it is in the center of your mandate to make sure that whatever we produce there is of quality. But it is very, very discouraging to always hear some of these delays. I think they are also caused by exactly that, to hear that a question paper has been leaked that is supposed to be written on Friday. It leaks on Monday. Students have the whole week to internalize the question paper. They go there when the person who's marking, they are surprised, oh, why are these people getting 100%, all of them? And they withhold the marks. You are waiting for the marks to be quality assured. And they are withholding them because it's scary. Even someone who have never got 30 got 98. Right, so we want to check the seriousness of taking the work of TVETs, the work of TVET colleges, because I disagree that it is being taken serious. I mean, it's not even a strike. They even know the system of getting a question paper that they are going to write. So the problems are many there. It is not even about the backlogs there. The backlogs are just caused by the ongoing crises that are happening within that space. That is the only explanation we can have
perhaps to help you explain this whole thing. I mean, how do you have incomplete resulting of a candidate after examination? Something is wrong. I mean, look at Sol Plaatje, that they just established themselves, and UMP. They never had such issues. For the first time, they go there, people graduate, there are no problems. What is wrong with TVET? I think we must be taken serious, Comrade Chair. And their sister department, the Department of Science and Technology, must assist the CETA guys, because the chairperson is not here, would have told him to really up their game. We can't be speaking of systems of technology at this age, day, and time. Elitia is correct. Those are things of 1983 when he was born. Not now. Now it must just be a matter of a button, Comrade Chair of Council in Melus. We must just press. The time when we were young, there it was not possible, and we understand why we couldn't reach there. But now it's our time. Young people who are technologically advanced, and we want to do things differently. And I think it is time. And Honorable Mukajwashi is correct. If there is a need that you need an intervention, then it must be stated so that there is enough capacity composed and created in these institutions. There is enough research capacity that we have, we can assist, than always speaking about one issue as if we gain something out of renting and, you know, always being critical on. We gain nothing. We are just going to lose our voices. We are going to take flights, you go back where you are coming from. And we are going to be left with the same issue again. Thank you, Chair. I will leave it there.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Notad.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Good morning to everybody. Firstly, Chair, let me apologize for being late. I also had a matter to deal with personally, but I did go through the presentation nonetheless when I got it. And, you know, getting this presentation and the manner in which it has been put or written or presented is actually quite saddening, Chair, because I can tell you every single day in my emails, I deal with at least one case of certification. Every day. Whether somebody is not getting their certificate because there's some system failure, or whether somebody does not get their certificate because there's some finance problem. But every single day in my emails, as a member of parliament sitting in this committee, I get a problem or an issue that I have to deal with regarding certification. Now, the first question I actually really want to ask, and it's going to sound weird, but who's your IT person? I mean, who's your IT person? Who deals with IT? Who's that individual or that team that deals with your IT? I'd really like to ask, where are they qualified, you know? What exactly are they doing? Because to me, you can't come and bring a presentation that says, oh, in 2018 with 40,000 backlog, and now we've got 15,000, as if that's an achievement. You can't celebrate something that was not supposed to transpire to begin with. So I want to know who that IT individual, and what consequences are they put in place for those individuals, because that's someone who's got a particular job description, that you are supposed to produce a system of this nature that is supposed to accumulate certain amount of certificates, so that these people that, by the way, form part of that 10 million more South Africans that are unemployed, that don't have a certificate to go and look for work. It's a problem. It's a massive problem. And I'm not lying when I say every day I deal with at least a certification problem. So we need to be able to hold the people that we employ accountable. That's our oversight duty as members of parliament. If we're saying that this entity is responsible for producing certificates under the Department of Higher Education, and they are saying to us they're having meetings on a bi-weekly basis to be able to remove these barriers, then who are those individuals who are supposed to remove this particular problem? Because there's a student who emails me who still has not received their certificates from 2002.
So I agree with Honorable Mananiso when she says, yes, you can use your e-system of trying to locate who are those individuals, but some of those individuals have no access to internet, they have no access to a computer, and you need to be able to go look at where are those individuals. I escalate these issues on a daily basis to the DG, Chairperson. He knows me very well in terms of those emails. So we need to be able to hold people accountable as to who those individuals are. So when you come and do a presentation to the committee, we don't want to hear, Woody, you know what, yeah, this is the problem and this is what we're doing about the problem, and therefore everything will be fine. You also need to state, these are our challenges. We would like you as a committee to intervene in this space and this space. And I want to ask a question. When was the last bi-weekly meeting that you had with DHET and yourselves, and what did you resolve on that? Because I want to check whether what we're getting here is actually a true reflection of what's actually happening. Number two, Chairperson. I wanted to ask as to what are the timelines? Because I see there's June 2020 to implement the system and whatever the case may be. What are the timelines, the realistic timelines from you that you will say, look, committee would have cleared this backlog? The reason I'm asking what are the timelines, whatever you're going to put on the table, just know that you're going to be accountable for when you come back to us and this thing is not cleared. And there must be consequences for that, Chairperson. We can't continuously, from years on, making the same excuse, no, it's an IT problem. Oh, we've got this problem. Oh, no, the certification now is 300. It's no longer 400. Who are those individuals who are going to make commitments that this will be cleared by this time based on the fact that we're getting a new system from a private company? And if that thing is not done, who's going to be held accountable for that? And we need to get rid of individuals like that who can't be able to produce results for us. We are talking about the fourth industrial revolution. As a government entity, we can't even simply produce a mere certificate on a work done by a student. How are we going to deal with all these things that we want to deal with if us, ourselves here, can't be able to produce the stuff that we want people to produce in the future, which is much more advanced? I want to know who are the institutions, privately and publicly, that are culprits when it comes to non-payments to process the certification process. And of those private and public, who are repeat offenders? Because now we also have to take action against. You know, we've got a problem in this department. Honestly, every single committee meeting I come and sit, there's always a massive problem with each and every entity we deal with. And we always try to sugarcoat as if everything is fine when things are not fine. And the more we don't take consequence management and get rid of people that are actually destroying the system, the more we're going to sit in these meetings for the next 5 years asking the very same questions. I wanted to ask the last question, Chairperson. What do you need from the committee to assist you on your system failures and your challenges that you have as entities? What do you need from us? Can you just tell us, look, members, we would like you guys to do X, Y, and Z. What do you need from us so that we can be able to try and assist? And if we have to take bold and unpopular decisions, we are allowed to do that. Whether it's towards the leadership of the department or the leadership of the ministry or even the leadership that you have within your entities, we're going to have to make those recommendations. Thank you so much, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable. Who wants to come back?
Yeah, it's just a point of privilege. I won't even take 15 seconds.
No, you're allowed. You're allowed, Honorable Ngov.
I just want to clarify one thing for the understanding of the House. Chairperson, this man is angry. And I'm happy I am angry. I'll be angrier tomorrow and the other day. The reason is we are not dealing with objects or statistics. We are dealing with human beings, some of whom are dead already. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Ngwebo. Well, I know that you are very passionate about this subject. You have been for ever since we started. So those are the issues that were raised by members, quite a lot of them. But I think as we, not as we conclude, before we conclude our engagement today, I think we need to get some commitment as to when exactly is, are we going to talk about backlog as a thing of the past. We need to say on such and such a date, we will be done with all the outstanding backlogs. And then maybe we can talk about whatever that transpires from there. But we need to get some commitment, because I was looking at the background info that we have been provided with by the committee staff. It's quite clear that this matter comes from far. For years and years, we have been dealing with this matter. So let's just get a commitment. When are we going to finalize this? You know, the absence of the chair for unexplained reasons remains a concern in light of the critical role that CETA is playing. In fact, when I look at the report, CETA has been blamed for not playing its part. When I look at the previous report from the Fifth Parliament and so forth, and there's been an admission that indeed we are not, the problem is on our side, we are going to attend to it. I don't even know whether, where is the CEO, where is the chairperson, says he can't come for whatever reasons, maybe he's going to play golf. I don't know where the CEO is. His absence has not been explained. And we've got such a critical institution that is supposed to perform this thing. We have got the chairperson of UMAL who's here and the CEO. And I can tell you they've been very clear as to what their mandate is, what their role is, what they are doing. They respect this Parliament, they respect the role that they are playing as a quality assurance provider. Both the chair and the CEO, you can't get higher level than that. And here we've got CETA that is quite critical. Honorable Lodad, I was asking about the IT person who's doing this is CETA, is providing for that information technology to the department. And they are not taking this thing serious. They are really not taking this serious. So so we have got a problem with that. And I think we need some explanation from the chair. What was the issue? The absence of the CEO. Do you have a CEO?
Yes, Chair, we do.
Okay.
He is actually currently at the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs.
Okay.
I think it's same time, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't say that. He didn't send that apology. And you didn't say that either when we started. So even if he was not appearing there, he was not going to come. I'm sure that you have noted some of the questions from the members. In the, according to the information I have, the other day I asked a question about the information I had. It turned out the information was wrong. So I hope this one is right. The budget, 2019 budget, 2018-2019, is it 2019-2020? There was 1.9 billion that was allocated to the department, to the TVET, to attend to national examinations, and the IT. I suppose this is the money that has been allocated over the medium-term period, of course, to deal with the IT. And then there is a company called Resolve Solution Partners. So is this the company that was appointed for this? And for how much was it appointed? And for what period? Maybe if you can just attend to that.
Do you want to respond now?
No, just note all of them. Because you have to respond to all the members. Yeah, so that is just the little that I'm depositing in a full basket of questions raised by members here. Yeah. So I think the other question that I'm also interested in is to when did the backlog start, sort of? When did we start experiencing the backlog? And of the current, how many certificates are outstanding for what period? Say it's 2 years, it's 3 years, or maybe even 10 years. Those kind of statistics. But I think what is important is for us to understand when are we going to address this thing once and for all so that we don't have to experience this problem again. So that is that. I'm going to maybe let's have a body break for 5 minutes so that there is not much for Umalusi, and I must say that we thank the chair for being here and the CEO and for being frank with us about the kind of role that you play in the whole situation. So there are questions probably for you, I don't know, but you'll decide among yourself who's going to answer which question. Some of the information are of a statistical nature, so you might want to follow that one up with a written explanation to give it to us. So let's adjourn. It's now, what time is it? It's 11:55. So if we can be back at least by 12, 5 minutes body break, we allow the presenters to sort themselves out and then we come back.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's take our seats. Let's go back to our seat. Okay, so I think you are ready to respond to the question. Maybe last thing that I forgot, there's this bi-weekly meetings and so forth. Can we be finished with the minutes of the meetings that are being convened by the DG? I'm interested in the DG's meetings, which are taking place bi-weekly. Let's be finished with the minutes of those meetings and the records of attendance, so that we know what is being discussed in all of this. They are not the top secrets. All right. Who's going to start?
Thank you, Chair. I will start off, and the other colleagues will come in response to some of the other questions. Chair, thank you for this opportunity to respond, because I think the concerns amongst the honourable members have been very consistent and correctly so. One of the first things we picked up is, and we would like to corroborate that, is that this committee would prefer to have separate presentations. So we would take it as a given that in future, when we are called to report on this issue, that the presentations would be done separately, so we can, you know, regard that as a given. Chair, I just want to clarify the e-tracking system. There were queries around that from different ones of the honourable members. First of all, it's not as yet functional. It has been built, it has been prepared, and it has been tested, but it hasn't as yet been launched. But even when it is an additional service to students. It will not take away the fact that students can still go to the college. A college or wherever they studied or where they wrote the exams will always remain a point of contact where students can go and pursue any outstanding certificates or results or statements or whatever else they have that they are looking for. So the college remains a point of contact and will continue to do so. And we currently have a very active call center. We also get students calling into our call center, and there's resolution of the queries through the DHET call center. So all of the other platforms will still remain. It's not as if they will, you know, be taken away just because of the e-tracking system. A very good question that was asked, Chair, is what preceded the system in the DHET? And actually, the truth is that there was never an earlier system. This is the only system that ever existed in the department historically. And to whatever extent it is technologically driven, is would have been the very first generation of such a system. Previous to that, and I don't think anybody here or currently in the department has the institutional memory of how it would have happened 35 years or maybe 40 years ago. Our guess is that it happened very manually. When results were generated, they were produced to a commonplace, synthesized on paper, and a verdict delivered whether somebody qualified or not, pretty much the way it would be done in a school, in some schools even today. So it would have been a very manual system. The point that has been made is that it is a very old system. It at no stage was it ever rebuilt. And an honorable member asked us, what are we asking this committee? What are we asking of this committee? How to assist? And it is to keep abreast of whether departments in general, and this department in particular, is in a position to upgrade its systems periodically. It is absolutely necessary. To let a system have lagged so behind, that the bridge, the gap that has to be bridged is huge at the moment, given the technological advance. I mean, today we can get a Rolls Royce of systems, but it will come at a cost. And sometimes one has to wonder if even the expertise exists in the country to build systems of this magnitude. We know in the corporate world the skills are imported to deliver platforms in the broadcasting industry, in the banking industry, in the insurance industry, and so forth. So building massive systems like this that can stand the test of time and can be modified over time is what we are really struggling with, because we have to bridge such a wide gap. And we do want to deliver the best system we can currently. Chair Ms. Shetlow, the Chief Director of Exams, will speak to the project, the Resolve project as we call it, and the building of the new system, because I think that's important, the value of it and the time that it has taken thus far to build and to bring us to the point of testing. So, you know, there has been no previous system. The added thing to consider is that qualifications have been added. For example, the national certificates only came into existence in 2007. Before that, it was only the NATED programs. When the national certificates vocational were delivered from 2007, there was just a mild tweaking of the system to accommodate that. But in terms of capacity, it had to double the volume that it had to deal with from then up to now on the very old system. So we are grappling with what we would call historical neglect of the system. And it was actually by approval of Parliament that the new system was approved and it started development. And that is why it has also taken this amount of time from the design to get it out to tender, to get the service providers to do the specs and to begin building it in parts and components until we are where we are. I mean, that's no excuse, but it has taken that amount of time working at it consistently. The million-dollar question that I think almost every honorable member has asked, and correctly so, is when will the backlog end? I think for all of us, that is critically important. We are obviously aiming and we are hopeful that it will be in the middle of June 2020. With all the plans that we have in place and the testing and so forth, the milestone activities, it tells us that it will be June 2020. But that said, we have to factor in some provision for the fact that when we do test, certain systems, inefficiencies, and malfunctions are going to surface, which we will have to deal with collectively. Largely, the service provider that's building the system will have to deal with it, but it will implicate the department, it will implicate CETA, it will implicate Umalusi, depending on what comes up in the live testing. In the testing, there's two types of testing. It's called the factory acceptance test and the user acceptance test. We are now on the cusp of training the super users. The users are both the super users who are based in the department and the end users who will be in the institutions. So we are on the cusp of having the system tested by the super users, and that will happen within this year. This ties up with the other question that the Honourable Member asked. Why has the, it's pretty much the same, virtually the same explanation. Why has the IT system been so persistent? It has been persistent because the problem had to be dealt with holistically. A brand new system had to be built. There was no ways we could have modified or resurrected the existing system to deal with the challenges that we have currently and going ahead. So what we are doing at the moment is trying to deal with the backlogs. It's not as if we have to wait for the new system to come in, brand new, in order to deal with the backlogs. We are trying as best we can currently to deal with the backlogs in a manual way if that is necessary, but there has been some current system enhancements to deal with the generation of certificates. So two things are happening at the same time. But when the new system is built and all the functionalities are active and they are tested and they have delivered, then we can say that there is no, in inverted commas, excuse for there to be any backlogs except the legitimate reasons, such as the irregularities and incompletion and those kinds of things. I absolutely understand because, make no mistake, we experience the same thing. Every single day students come to us for certificates, whether they qualify or not. And it's a problem that we also want to come to an end. And students are entitled to it. But what we can say is every single student whose case is logged, we have a 24-hour turnaround time that we receive in the department. There is a team dedicated to that. So irrespective of where the query comes, even if it comes from a third party, it doesn't have to be the student himself or herself. Even if it is directed by a third party, there is direct communication made with the complainant, and it's followed up, and the rule of thumb is that it must be dealt with until resolution. Even if the student does not qualify for the certificate, it needs to be clearly set out to the student what is missing, what needs to be done, and the process that needs to be followed to close that loop. So, you know, we are dealing with it where the problems do come to us on a daily basis. Chair, I would like to leave to my colleague, Ms. Shetlow, to deal with the actual questions that you posed, actually. And then I would like the floor to be open because I don't want us to repeat ourselves on some of the other issues that will be addressed by the other colleagues.
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. I think the Chair has a question on the value of the contract to resolve. The value of the contract share is $52 million, and it was for 6 years. 3 years for development until we go live, and the other 3 years for support. So that is currently what I can report. And we are now in the 2.5 years of the development because the contract did not actually start immediately in 2015. We checked that it was delayed over a year, and then it actually started late in 2016. So that is what the value is. And then as the leader of the delegation indicated, we are almost done with the development. We are now training and testing and addressing issues of change management in that regard. I think that is, I think I've covered the question that you asked, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, I just want to, because it has been mentioned a number of times, to again apologize to yourself and to the honorable members for my chair, and just to commit that we will send a written explanation of where and why he was not here, together with the CEO. So we make that commitment, and we can do that within the next week or so. And again, I also want to apologize to the honorable members in terms of just making a lot of assumptions about, because we had a history with the committee, we actually did not come with a background explanation and role and clarification, and we take responsibility for that. And we can also submit a broader explanation with some of the answers and the commitments that the chair is asking for, that we can send to the honorable chair and the honorable members. The third thing that I want to mention, Chair, is the issue of the visit. It was mentioned previously we had the committee visiting CETA and us explaining the systems and processes and what CETA is doing or contributing towards the solution of the problem. And a question was asked what we would ask. I think we would appreciate the visit because I think it will give a much broader explanation and description of what have the problems been. Because I think the point that to make here is that CETA has in no way taken this problem lightly. We've taken it very seriously. We created special structures to try and solve the problem. We resourced the structure. It was not enough structures, and you have said, Honorable Chair, that we have admitted that some of the problems were CETA's problems, and we will in no way deny that there were some problems. CETA has a history of legacy problems, and we have been modernizing, and it is in when we had the committee calling us and saying, explain, that we put a concerted effort to try and solve these problems as quickly as possible. It has been difficult, but we have been, I think, successful to a great extent in terms of solving that problem. So those are the things that I think we needed to just clarify from the point of CETA. But I think in terms of what the problem statement was, what has been done, and what is in place right now, I will ask Venon to just deal with for you. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair and members, once again. I just want to touch on a few of the points, and then I'll also hand over to my colleague who's here with us today, Andre Taylor. He's got some institutional knowledge on the system itself. In respect of the point that was raised that the error pattern should be linear, I do take note of that particular point, but what we are seeing here is actually after some of the errors have been addressed and the certificates have been produced. So it's, if you had to maybe look at it at the initially, then there would have been some sort of a linear pattern that was prevalent. But now since we have worked on it, it's not, you know, it's not as what it was originally. So what you are now seeing is what is the end result. So that is still remaining. Hence, there's no sort of linearity that actually is creeping in there. Okay? But what we've also picked up is that in terms of the later exams, because of all the changes that we have brought on board, it actually has got positive impact on the more recent exams. So that linearity, you know, it's actually dropped. Right? So that is in respect of that. Why are we taking so long to resolve this particular situation? And yes, we are placing a lot of importance on this particular matter. We do have teams that focus on this, but when it comes to, and not to sound defensive, but to do some of the analytics around it, it's actually very, very time consuming. And there's also a few people that actually understands the system. As we said early on, these systems, it's legacy type applications. It is still written in natural with AWS in terms of the software development language. So to do that low-level analysis, one also needs to have some of the business knowledge to that. And for that particular capability, that is very difficult for us to get in the industry at this point in time. Our member of the board have given an indication that previously we have actually sourced a service provider to assist with reducing the backlog, and that was on the NCV. We had some value that we derived out of it, but more value was actually coming out of the team that understands the system. So that's from that. So why are we still taking so long? Besides it being sort of legacy, we've also heard that, and the capability, there's also very little system documentation in respect of the solution that we are maintaining at this point in time. Then in terms of touching on the data and the stats, Chair and members as well, we would like to propose that we do submit, give the submission by next Friday, so we can actually then get a view for the outstanding sort of certificates per examination cycle. So that submission we can actually then provide. So let me hand over to my colleague, Andre Taylor, who will just give a little bit more in terms of the history around the solutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and members. Yes, if I could just give a bit of history in terms of the applications. The system for NITED was there from 2002, and I'm not sure what was there before that. As Missing indicated, I'm not sure what was the system prior to that. But when the NCV curriculum was introduced in 2007, on short notice, they tweaked the NITED application to make provision for the business rules in NCV. And that was then implemented, and at that point in time, DHET were responsible to issue the certificates for level 2 and 3, and the exit qualification or level 4 was issued by Umalusi. Then at a stage, I think it was in 2009, the then minister made a decision to say that all certificates had to be issued by Umalusi, and it had to be backdated from when NCV was introduced. And that actually is where the first backlog started, because then all the certificates had to be reissued via Umalusi, and that is where we also then picked up some challenges in terms of ensuring that the quality assurance data match that was done. On the NITED application as well is that there was a change in the way that standardization or the methodology that was used for standardization. And due to the complex nature that, or the nature of the programs that it was written, those changes were difficult to bring aboard. And that was introduced after that came into place. And there was also a bit of a delay in issuing of the NITED certifications until the system could have been configured to use the new standardization methodology. And that was then since corrected. There was also an important change in terms of the rounding errors, or the rounding off of the results for candidates, where at the stage it was up to the 14th decimal, and then it was brought back, I think, currently to the 7th decimal. And in the system, there were some challenges that the results were not always 100% aligned to what Umalusi calculated, and therefore there was the issue about the marks that were not aligned with them. And those changes has been since implemented, and the rounding of the results calculations are done on the same basis as what Umalusi do now. But those were the challenges that we experienced from a system perspective to align it. And due to the legacy nature of the development that was used, it was large, complex programs. So if you touch one thing, then it's got a ripple effect on all the other things. As Vernon indicated, one of the approaches that we use now is to say, let's modularize it more, that if you need to do a change, it's something that you can do on a smaller component, change that, and it doesn't have the impact on all the other functionalities within the program. And that is also where we now achieved better turnaround time in bringing about changes and making the system much more accurate in terms of how it calculates the results and hence the current certifications that is done within the 3 months period where we get to that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Malus.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We truly appreciate the concern of the committee members. It is painful not to get a certificate after qualifying for any qualification that we have worked for. My sense is that we can do better, as a collective. We work with a number of assessment bodies, and there are lessons learned from those as a quality assurance body. And we'll continue to support the colleagues, in trying to resolve the problems. What is difficult for us is that we cannot fabricate data for certification. It has to be authentic because we want the currency of our qualifications to be respected. If the currency of our certificates is found wanting, the certificates will not be worth the paper they are written on, and that will be a problem for the country. We'll continue to give support, Chairperson, and even attend the DG's meetings.
whilst maintaining our quality assurance role and our independence, because that is very critical. That is very important. And about consequence management, when it comes to colleges that don't pay, for certificates, the public TVET colleges are not a culprit in this instance, because out of the appropriation that we get from the fiscus, they are already covered for certificates. So for as long as the data is correct, you qualify from a public TVET college, you get your certificate, if everything is in place. Where there are defaulters in terms of non-payment, it is the private TVET colleges. And we can provide the list of those to the members to also show the quantum of the amounts owed by these colleges. That can be sent through the secretariat of this honorable committee, so that the committee members can then have a sense who are the private TVET colleges that are culprits in this instance. That is the long and short of our response, Chairperson. We are at the back end of everything. Once everything is in place in terms of its correctness, we will issue certificates. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, all of you. I think some of the responses will be in writing. But maybe just to say from the outset that the committee does share the frustration of Honorable Ngo. As you might have heard, that so many years when we've been dealing with this problem, there is no solution in sight. But we do take the commitment made by the leader of the delegation from DHET, the acting director general, deputy director general, that we are looking at around 2020 June. That's when the problem will be dealt with. So you have got your targeted date, Honorable Ngogo and all members. We will then work on that one. Maybe we'll schedule just after that period to get a briefing so that we understand how far the process is. But we've got a targeted date upon which we're not going to talk about backlogs anymore. All the certificates outstanding will be issued by everybody else. So that is the commitment that we're getting from the delegation here. The rest of the other issues, I think, is to explain the status quo, the current problem, is to explain it, that the system is quite complex and all of that. But we have got much more complex system that we are running efficiently than this one. Honorable Gates says the numbers in the TVET colleges are lesser than in the university sector, which is true. The examinations might be more, but the numbers are less. That's the point that we must also understand. Meaning, even the those who are going through the system are less than those who are going through the system of the universities. The two of them, we can't just compare them like apples to apples, but it doesn't mean that because we are running such a complex system of examination, therefore, you are bound to have backlogs. It doesn't work like that. You can perfect the system, because for now you have been implementing the system for some time. You should be able to understand how does the system work and continue to perfect it. You have received 1.9 billion over the medium term just to work on that. So you can utilize the resources to resolve the problem. And with regard to the issue that has been raised, the concern about the presence of the leadership of the department, from the minister, DM, and the director general, we will
convey those concerns to the leadership, that indeed it has been the case that for some time we have not been having the full presence of the leadership, especially when we deal with quite critical matters. So we will do that, we'll convey those concerns. I see these people are doing like, there's a bit of some funny smell. Oh, it's a heat. I can smell something here. But there's two more hands. I'm just going to take quickly and then we will wrap up.
Thank you, Chair. I don't usually do this, but there's ongoing referral to an old system. Why can't we change the system? Why can't we just have a new system? Because I'm even thinking my question with regards to the interventions of young people in solving some of these issues. I mean, if they're not studying, what I'm understanding that the system that is being used is one that people probably studied before I was born. So, I mean, it's probably an outdated, there's a few people who can use the systems that are currently in place. So the new people who were currently training in the system, won't even be able to respond to that. So why can't we just, have anyone thought of creating a new system?
Thanks, Chair. Very quick. it's almost a supplement to what Honorable Mukasha is raising, that the June 2020 target, maybe in writing they can write to us how they are going to achieve it, because I'm afraid if we just put a blanket saying June 2020, they will come and say, no, we're now at 2,500 backlog. So let them give us a detailed plan on how they are assuring us by June 2020 the target will be reached, because this is now the fourth or the third target they're giving to the committee from the FIT administration. So we could further refer a detailed program, a detailed plan on how they're going to achieve day zero of of backlog certification by June 2020. Just a plan, so that by March we're able to check. This is where you said you were. You are not there yet, and what are the issues? Because if they just say June 2020, I'm afraid we're just postponing the inevitable, given the history of the engagement between the committee and the entity. Okay.
Quickly, the old system, can't you get a new system?
Yeah, thanks, Chair and honorable members. Directly to the MMM, yes, the system is currently being replaced. That is the system that has been referred to in the presentation as the new IETS system. So that system is now what is projected to be implemented during the course of next year. So that process is underway, and it's being written in more modern technology.
Okay. It's by resolve, huh?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So the request of Honorable Litzie is that give us the roadmap to he calls it day zero. when we'll be saying that there won't be any problems with the backlog. But of course, it's the commitment that we've received. There's no reason to doubt that as a portfolio committee. All what we'll do is just to follow up and check whether is everything going in that direction. So I think otherwise we're done, except those things that needs to be... I'm interested to get the minutes and the attendance record of that, just to make sure that all this, what we have been told is happening, does indeed happen. So we are done. Thank you very much, all of you, for coming, presenting. Tomorrow.